Every year we start the same way. We vow to do things differently, to make this year better than the last. We make a list of things we'd like to do or know we should do. We tell ourselves we're going to try harder this year, but we fall right back to where we started. Every year, same resolutions, same results. But this year is going to be different. This year, we're changing the way we change. This year, we're changing for good.
Happy New Year. Well, 2014 has passed, and you know, with every year we look back, maybe it's a good year overall, but there's always some ups and downs, and kind of like the Arizona Wildcats football. Great year overall, just didn't win the last two games. And, last year was a good year because we were able to form a partnership to plant a church in Playas, Ecuador, to see change and transformation come to this desperately poor area. And because of your generosity, we are going to plant that church this year in Playas. Our Christmas Eve offering was to be able to do that, and the totals aren't even all in yet, but we raised over $48,000 just right here at this campus. Yeah, thank you. We are sending the check this week to get that thing launched, and then we're also going to have our other partners, Move City Church in Sierra Vista and Elements City Church and Revive are also going to be joining us in that, and so we're going to see that happen this year. I just wish you a blessed, blessed 2015. You know, cultures all over the world and religions all over the world celebrate New Year's. Now, they happen sometimes at different times of the year, but there's this universal desire with the new year that we want new. That's why we call it a new year, that we want things to be different. We want things to be better. But for things to be new or different or better, it requires change. There's just no way that that's going to happen without change. And change is hard. You know, we've looked at the research that 90% of Americans who make New Year's resolutions fail to accomplish them. That's not a very good track record. And because the challenges and the difficulties of change. And I don't think it's because we don't have enough good intentions. I think our intentions are great. But there's another factor that we don't take into account enough, and that's this thing called the human heart. The human heart, it's the greatest challenge to our own personal change. There's just no way around it. Jesus says that all our behaviors, ultimately the way we live our lives, it all begins with our heart. And the heart refers to all that's inside of us, what we believe, how we think, what we feel based on our experiences or the situation. How we make decisions and how we will to act and function. Our passions. All that's inside, that's described as the human heart. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus says. This is on page 686 in the Bibles that are in front of you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Listen to what Jesus says about the heart. For out of the heart... That's the source. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, which then translate into murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And granted, in this particular context, Jesus focuses more on the negative, but what he's reminding us is the heart is the source of all things. And so if we want to change our life, if we want to change something in our life, we have to give attention to the heart because the change has to happen in the heart for the change to work elsewhere. Change your heart, change your life. It's as simple as that, although it's not that simple. How does that happen? And who's responsible for that change? How much of that's my responsibility? How much of that is God's responsibility? And we have all kinds of questions about that. And I, in the short time that I have this morning, I'm not going to be able to answer every aspect of that. But I believe with all my heart that we can change. And what I want to do today is give a principle, an idea, a tool that could be an alternative to New Year's resolutions that just might help us to really experience change for good. That's why we're doing this series, Change for Good. We want to see how can we really experience change that's, and there's a double meaning there, change for good that lasts, you know, past a couple days, and change for good that really results in us being better people, more like Jesus, pleasing to God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We've got to find a way that we can best cooperate with God for God to change our heart. Let me just share a little of my own story of change. Now, all of us at different times and different ways and different contexts have experienced self-doubt. Maybe it was on a particular project. Maybe it was beginning a new job or a career. Maybe it was hoping to graduate one day. But we've all experienced those periods where we went through doubt. And a few years ago, I went through a time of extreme personal self-doubt. What was happening was that there was this voice, this message that just is like a tape player that wouldn't quit, you know, recycling. And basically the message was, you're not the right person to lead this church. You're really, that part of that message was you're a failure as a leader. And part of what that whole period did was that I would compare our church with other quote unquote successful churches. I would compare myself with other quote unquote successful pastors, and then there were just a few voices that echo that I wasn't as effective leader as I needed or as this church needed, and then what happens is when you start listening to that message or voice, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you don't act the way that you know that you should act, and your energy is diverted in ways that's not helpful. And it was just a miserable time. And I know that all of us have been there in different ways. Your situation is going to be different than mine, but we've all been there. And the problem was I was just stuck. You know, you talk about change. Change wasn't happening. So God in his goodness used that time to do some incredible teaching for me, to refine me. And God in those times will give us all kinds of messages. For example, every year we have a global leadership summit. We host it here. It's the first week of August. And if you've not been to one of ours, you need to put that in your calendar already. The first weekend of August, Thursday, Friday, the global leadership summit. One of the speakers was talking about the prophet Jeremiah. I don't know if you know much about the prophet Jeremiah, but he was 17 years old when God called him to deliver a very unpopular message of doom to the people that lived in southern Israel, particularly the city of Jerusalem. And for 40 years, he continued to teach that message. And nobody listened to him. Nobody changed. Nobody. In fact, all he got was persecution. And it was a miserable time, 40 years. And from a human standpoint, you look at the prophet Jeremiah and you go, he had no success. He didn't accomplish anything. Except, even though the people of that day didn't listen and didn't change, we got the book of Jeremiah, which he had written through his scribe, Baruch, and then wrote the book of Lamentations, which for centuries have been an incredible teaching for us. You know, so even though Jeremiah didn't see success in his own life, he was faithful to God in what God wanted him to do, and it made a difference in the end. And then there was Moses. I was reading about Moses, particularly in the book of Numbers. You remember Moses led the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. But the problem was that it took a long time to get there, 40 years wandering through the desert. And the reason it took that long was that the people were unhappy. I mean, they were constantly complaining and they questioned Moses' leadership. At one point in Numbers, Moses and God have this great conversation. It goes kind of like this. Moses says, "Did I give birth to these people? Why do I have to lead them? I'm done." take my life. I'd rather be dead than alive. That's how bad it got. And in those 40 years, Moses didn't look like much of a success because all they did was wander and wander and wander, and it didn't look like they were getting anywhere, except that God used Moses to ultimately bring the people of God to the promised land. God began to give me those messages, and being stuck, I knew I needed to get help. I talked with some trusted friends, some experienced pastors. I went to counseling. And by the way, when we get stuck, there's nothing wrong with getting help. There's nothing wrong with going for counseling. And through all of that, what God was teaching me through his word, the feedback I was getting from my counselor and from friends, I came to this realization, and it all boiled down to one word. I needed to focus on simply being faithful to God. And then from that, I created my life motto, faithfulness, not success. That I'm called to do what God has asked me to do, period. Not based on what other people define as success, not what other people think success is. I'm simply to do what God has called me to do. And then as that became clear, I realized I need to be faithful just like Jeremiah was. I need to be faithful just like Moses was. I came across a verse that's become kind of my life verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, now it is required of those who have been given a trust that they prove faithful. And so that one word, faithful, guided me through that very, very difficult time, brought me through that difficult time. And then what happened was, once I realized I'm simply to be faithful, faithful to what? Faithful to what God has called us to be and to do at this church. And years ago, God made that really clear to myself and to our leaders that there are four things that we need to keep focusing on as a church. If you're new, maybe you haven't heard this, and so let me just repeat them. That the number one thing that we need to do as a church is, and the way that we can best help you, is that we all want to follow Jesus well. That's the bottom line. We got to keep focusing on what does it mean? How do we follow Jesus well? And then second, we want to reach people who are not connected to God or a church community. We want to follow Jesus well. We want to reach people who are not connected to God or a church community. And if we're going to see real change happen in our community and around the world, then we need to also, this is the third thing, is plant healthy, life-giving churches that make a difference wherever those churches are. That's why we've been invested in church planting. And then last, the whole reason that we want to plant healthy, life-giving churches is that we want to see neighborhoods, if it happens to be, you know, here in southern Arizona, or villages around the world, we want to see them transform. We want to see them develop into really healthy communities. And once I realized that I'm simply to be faithful to the calling that God has given us, then that changed everything. That becomes the focus. And that's why, by the way, we're doing Empower Ecuador, because that fulfills that very thing that God has asked us to do. To help people follow Jesus well, to reach people who are not connected to God, to plant healthy churches that make a difference in their communities. And that's why we do what we do. And God brought me through that time to refocus. And he did it through one word, the word faithfulness. That was my word that I needed. All of us face spiritual challenges in our lives. Sometimes there are multiple challenges. Sometimes it's one big one. But we all face those challenges. And what I want to suggest is that what we need to do is look at one of those things in our lives that we want to change, that needs to change, that needs to change for good. And as we focus on that, we do that through selecting one word that'll guide us through that time. And so here's my main point today. Here's what I want you to take away. I want to challenge each of us to focus on one word, not lots of words, one word, which in and of itself is a challenge. Focus on one word that God will use to bring about change for good. And I'm going to explain that. I'm going to unpack that. I'm going to talk about what we need to focus on to do that and how that happens. And we're going to work through this. But I want to start with first the what. And I'm going to go back to the heart. Because that tool of choosing one word, and I'll explain more of that in just a moment, that's really about changing our heart, cooperating with God to change our heart. So let's look at that a little more carefully. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, page 440 in the Bibles in front of you. Proverbs chapter 4. As you're turning there, Solomon writes this. He's writing it to his son. And he's writing it to his son because he wants his son to find and stay on the right path. It's something we all want for our kids, to find and stay on the right path. And so notice, as he's been giving instructions, that he kind of comes to this conclusion and he gets to literally the core of this. And notice where that is. Notice where that focus is in verse 23. He says, above all else. He goes, I've said a lot of things, but above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. Guard your heart because everything flows from it. Remember, heart means everything that's inside of you. What you believe, what you feel, you know, the decisions you make, your passions, your values, all that's inside. He says, guard your heart because everything flows from it. Guard your character because it will create everything else in your life. What does he mean by guard it? Protect it. Protect what you allow to influence your inside. Be careful what you focus on. Be careful what you dwell on. Be careful what you watch. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful about the messages that come to us from our culture. Guard your heart because you do have control over what you allow to influence your heart. And things will always be trying to influence your heart. And the bottom line question is, how much do we allow God to influence our heart? Or how much do we allow other people or the culture or circumstances to influence our heart? We have that choice. And that's why Solomon is saying, above all else, be very careful what you allow to influence your heart. This is the key. If your heart is good, guess what's going to flow out of it? Good. If you want to change your life, change your heart. So that's the principle. It's just there and it won't go in. And Solomon continues. Verse 24 says, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Now, Jesus also talked about that. Out of the heart that comes those kinds of things. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Second part of that is guard your heart. And then as you think about that, what are you going to focus on? Look, lock in like a laser beam onto that which is right and good and don't detract from it. Don't go right or left. Keep focused on that which is really right and really good. And that's where I want to suggest this whole focus of the message today is this, is that thing that we can focus on that will help us guard our heart, that will help our heart to change, is that we choose one word at a time. And let that be our focus that guides us through whatever it is that we're experiencing, whatever change it is that we want. I think this is a powerful alternative to the traditional New Year's resolution, where we focus on one word to change our heart and thus change us for good. One word. One word is, we can remember it. One word is simple, and simple is powerful. So the idea is to find one word that captures the change that you want to see happen in your life. One word, more importantly, that God desires would really become a reality for who you are. That one word would help shape the decisions you make. That one word would help shape your attitude towards the opportunities and challenges that you face. That one word would mold your values. That one word would guide you, would help focus your prayer time. That one word would provide direction to purposeful action. That one word has the power to change us as God works with that in our heart, to change us for good. It's clear, it's simple, it's memorable, and it keeps us focused. And so the challenge is that we pick a word, identify that word, and just live with it for at least a year. And at the end of the year, we begin to see how that one focus had begun to shape and change us for good. I've had a number of words in my life. A number of years ago, my one word was intimacy. As I was trying to deepen my intimacy with my wife and my family and my close friends, I mentioned not too long ago, it was the word faithfulness. Most recently, it was the word boldness. And for 2015, my word is generous. Now, when you hear the word generous, you think of being generous with money. And I think I'm pretty generous with my money and possessions. But there's so much more to life about being generous. And what I want to do is explore all of those other aspects of my life of being generous. Generous with time, generous with words, generous even in attitude towards people and situations. I've been wrestling with this for a number of weeks, and just yesterday as I was driving, I realized that you can be a generous driver. Or you can be a stingy driver. I mean, I'm beginning to explore how generosity influences so many aspects of life that I never even thought of before. And as I've been thinking about this, I began to realize that generosity is core to the message of Jesus, the gospel. God so loved us, he lavished with incredible generosity his love and grace on us. That's the core of everything that we hope for. And so what I'm doing this year is I'm exploring this whole thing. And so with that word being there, it'll begin to shape how I look at things, how I respond to people. I won't do it perfectly. None of us will. But it'll begin to be a focus. And for a year, letting God begin to remold and reshape my heart. My heart, my thinking, my attitudes, my values, my actions, etc., etc. And that's the power of this. And so that's mine. That's not going to be yours. Here, let me just give you some examples of how this works out. Your one word could be a character trait. It could be a spiritual quality. It could be a discipline. It could be a habit. It could be a value. It could be an attitude. Or it could be an action. It can be any of those things. Some sample words that folks have used as their one word is serve, or grace, or surrender, trust, breakthrough. Or sometimes they can be actions, like a verb, like walk, save, give. Could be any kinds of words like that. So, just some examples. Or it could be one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It could be any kind. It just gives you an example of what this. So how do you begin this? How do you start? Here, let me suggest this. The way that you want to start is by taking some time to reflect. Now, that's already a challenge because we're all busy, but I really want to challenge you. I really want you to take serious taking a block of time. It might be an hour. It might be 2 hours. It might be three. Some time just to quiet all the other stuff in your life and really take time to really reflect inwardly. What's that one thing? What's that one word that I really want to reflect the change that would be most helpful for me? And then just as important is asking God, God, what is that one word? Reveal to me that one word. My guess is that as you begin this, God's already been working in your life, suggesting what that one word is. It doesn't always come quickly. It doesn't always come easily, but you've got to take the time. Maybe it's taking a long hot hike and finding a quiet place, or, you know, when it warms up a little bit, or going to Starbucks, or chasing everybody out of the house. Whatever works, just so you can have some time of quiet where there's no interruptions and you can really reflect. You know, John Wooden, the great UCLA basketball coach, said this quote that a lot of people use: failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And don't just grab a word out of the air. Take some time to really prepare your heart and really put some time into this. You see, as I was trying to think through my word, I actually had a page of words. I have so many things I need to change. You know, I had a whole page of words, and they were all good, but I kept coming back to this word generous. And honestly, there was a wrestling that was going on in me. And it takes time to do that wrestling, because I realized that if I chose that word, it would require that I be generous. It would require that I actually do some things that I might not want to do. And I really wrestled. But I thought, no, this is the change that I want to experience, that I think will bring about incredible change for good. And so I just encourage you. Abraham Lincoln said that if it takes 8 hours to cut a tree, spend 6 hours sharpening your axe. We got to take the time to prepare our heart, to allow God to speak into our lives, to ask him what changed. And so some of the questions we'd ask in that time of reflection is, you know, what's my greatest spiritual challenge right now? Or maybe what's my greatest challenge right now? Well, what's getting in the way of being the person that I know God wants me to be? Or maybe think of it this way. What would it take for me to be a better husband, wife, father, mother, friend, manager, whatever. You know, whatever that role is that you're concerned about. What would help make that become, help me be much better in that? What has God been saying to me lately? What's the one thing that would make the biggest difference in my life right now, for me and for those around me? Those are some of the questions that we're asking that help guide us to that one word that we'll focus on and keep looking at over the next 12 months. And so what we're doing is we're listening to God, we're listening to ourselves. And if you get stuck, it's okay to talk to some other people, but don't start there. First, spend some time alone with God, with yourself. And then if you're stuck, then begin bringing some other people into it to talk about, to help you discover that. And then once you discover that word, so you've taken some time to discover it. Once you discover it, let me encourage you to share it with others. There's incredible power when we share. It can be sharing it on Facebook. We can tweet it. You know, we can share it with our small group, which I'd really encourage you to do, with your family, with friends. Find whatever way that you can. And then create all kinds of reminders. You know, put it on your phone, a picture on your phone. Put it as a screensaver. By the way, parents, this is a great thing to do with your whole family. Even young children can do this. They can figure this out. And then maybe as put your one word on a piece of paper and take a family picture and put it on the refrigerator. There's all kinds of ways that we can use this to share it and to remind ourselves of what this is all about. And as we share it, then we just build in an accountability. And when, as we verbalize it, it becomes more real. And then we start the journey, the year-long journey of keeping a focus on that one word. We pray about that one word. When we face challenges, we naturally say, how does this word influence me as I face this challenge? As opportunities come, how does this one word shape how I might respond to this opportunity? What I want to do is challenge you to test it and try it. It's a powerful tool, and that's all it is. It's a tool that'll help us cooperate with God to bring about change in our heart as we focus on one word that God will use to bring change for good. We can change. I believe with all my heart we can change. And I believe that God wants us to change for good. But unfortunately, too few of us really believe we can change. That's why the stats are what they are. That's why 90% of Americans fail to accomplish their good New Year's resolutions. There's a lot of reasons why. Change is hard. I've mentioned that. The heart is tricky. That's why Solomon says, guard your heart. And there are all kinds of voices in our lives from our past, from our present that say you won't change, you can't change. Why? There's pessimism that's all around us. You're not going to be able to really make the change. For too long in that period in my life, I listened to the voice that I wasn't adequate. I was a failure. I listened to that voice. I listened to a lie. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from experiencing change for good? I've given you a method. It's a method that's been tried and it works. What's holding you back from experiencing real change? Throw a rock at the lies that hold you back. Push through those thoughts, those even people, circumstances that just want to stop you from experiencing change for good. And trust in a God who excels at change. Trust in a God who excels at changing the heart. God wants us to change for good. And so my challenge is to focus on one word this next year that God will use to bring about change for good. In a moment, we're going to take communion. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate. In a moment, the servers will pass the communion tray and you'll take the cup of juice, the piece of bread, and use that time to reflect and then partake when you're ready, but pass the tray to the next person so they can do the same. And here's one of the things I want you to be aware of. Jesus had a word. That word, his word, was actually his name. We know it as Jesus. In Hebrew, it was Yeshua. Yeshua is typically translated Joshua. And the word Joshua, the word Yeshua, Jesus, means the one who delivers, the one who rescues. We use the word a savior. So from the time that Jesus was old enough to hear and know his name till the day that he died on the cross, his name was the very essence of what his life was all about. It was his focus. He came to us. Jesus came to us to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us from the power of the sin in our lives, to rescue us from hopelessness, to have a living relationship with a God who loves us. It shaped everything about who he was, what he did, until he died for us. That's what we remember at communion. And as you remember that and celebrate that at communion, this is a great time to begin to ask God, God, what's that one word that'll guide me the next year, that I'll focus on, that I'll allow you to use to shape my heart. After communion, we take an offering. Our offering is a part of our worship. It's not just something we tack on at the end. Worship is about giving worth to God, and we do that in our giving. We say to God, you are so worthy. I want to give generously to you. I want to give to you first. I want to give joyfully. We express how worthy he is in our giving. Let's pray. Father God, we want to change. We want to change for the good. And so, God, we're inviting you through the power of your Holy Spirit to reveal to us, to help us discover that word that would guide us this next year. And then, God, we ask you to shape us and change us and mold us as we focus on that one word. God, thank you for being a living God that brings about living change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.